The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State magazine. Today's reading of Our State is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974 and underwriting our podcast for over 15 years. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. Time to crack the cover on a brand new issue of Our State magazine, celebrating North Carolina. This one for September 2023. Can you believe it's almost fall? The cover this month says, "Take the Scenic Route, 35 Ways to See North Carolina, by bike, on foot, by trolley, and more." The cover has a picture of a T-shaped dock, the part that is headed out from the lower part of the cover, the vertical, if you will, on the T, has a woman's bicycle with a big basket on it parked dead center. Then it tees off to the left and right, and the owner of the bicycle, no doubt, is standing with her back to us, looking out on a very pretty river scene. And the caption says, "North Carolina by bike. Cyclists on the Atlantic and Yadkin Greenway in Greensboro can find a moment of peace on Lake Brant." Well, we're going to start, as we always do, with the From Elizabeth column by Elizabeth Hudson, the editor-in-chief. She's sitting on a sofa, giving us a big smile. Elizabeth has brown hair that flows down over her shoulders. It's straight. His heavy bangs in front, and as usual, she has on a large pair of round glasses and a smile. Full circle. My grandmother walked everywhere. She walked to neighbors' houses, bringing flowers from her garden. She walked to the library and to the feed and seed store. She walked to her job in downtown Asheboro, at Buddy's Dress Shop in the 50s, and years later to the courthouse for a new job at the tax department. As a child, I walked with her whenever I could, clinging to her hand as we made our wide loop around town. We walked to Central Bakery for cream-filled oatmeal cookies and to First National Bank so I could deposit money, dollars saved from birthday and Christmas gifts, earnings from helping with chores, into my very first passbook savings account. As we walked, she pointed out landmarks and told me stories about the structures. This was the home site of Jonathan Worth, North Carolina's 39th governor. That oak tree in the front yard was planted by Governor Worth 200 years ago. Next door, there's the McCrary home, named for the founder of the Acme McCrary Hosiery Mill. Once, while playing dress-up in my grandmother's closet, I discovered the slim boxes of stockings from Acme McCrary stored away, the packaging printed with instructions to center the arrows for straight seams. My grandmother took me to unexpected spots, too, like the lobby of People's Savings and Loan to see the huge black and white aerial photograph of Asheboro displayed on the wall. The picture stretched all the way to the ceiling, a bird's eye view of our beloved town, and we stood there scanning it, identifying buildings we knew and streets we just walked on. I could tell by the cars that the photo had been taken a long time ago. I was mesmerized by how the streetscape looked so different, yet somehow still the same. Now, all these years later, as I walk through town, I miss my grandmother's guiding voice, nudging me to see what I might have missed. Here was the sandwich shop where we ate hot dogs at the counter. It's been transformed into a modern coffee house. Here were the jewelry stores with their glass cases full of watches, the camera store where I got my first Kodak, the clothing store where we bought my fall corduroy jumpers, all evolved into other shops. In their places, there's the Black Lantern Tea Room with its grilled Reuben on the menu. There's Harper Jewel Boutique with its doors swung open and music streaming out. Across the street, there's Nanny Mae's, a bakery lovingly named for, how about this, the grandmother of the owner. I noticed this, too, that my memories aren't lost to the march of time. They've merely merged with the pulse of the present. That centuries-old oak tree on the Worth home site was felled years ago, but now I see someone restoring the McCrary House to its former splendor. The long-vacant mill buildings, Acme McCrary and Cranford Hosiery, have been converted, too, into apartments, a recreation center, and a stunning, light-filled restaurant called The Table. Central Bakery, with its oatmeal cookies, is still here, and now there's also a farmer's market and Bicentennial Park, an oasis of green space that backs up to Four Saints Brewing Company, a place that kept its original floor since it had been a Western Auto, where, how about this, my grandfather bought new tires for the 1930s Buick that he drove to pick up my grandmother for their very first date. This town she adored so much. Its essence endures. How I wish she could see it all now, the changes, but the consistency too. How I wish I could be the one to walk with her hand in hand and show her around. And now, as I always do on the first reading of the month, it's my pleasure to interpret the photo essay for those of you who cannot see it or cannot see it well enough to fully enjoy the pictures. This month it's entitled Joyrides. Across North Carolina, in neighborhoods, on city streets, along beaches, and through mountain forests, cyclists of every skill level find plenty of places to pedal. Written by Brad Campbell. On this overleaf double spread, we see a fall scene because the trees are golden on the left-hand side. We are on the side of a mountain because we continue to slope down from the height on the left-hand side. It's a two-lane road and got a double yellow line down the middle, and it's a reason it's double because it's a solid line because we're on a curve here, and there's a bicyclist coming down. He's got a red bicyclist shirt and, of course, a helmet. The caption says, "Few places boast the beauty of the Blue Ridge Parkway in the fall. From the saddle of a bike, a rider becomes part of the show." Overleaf now. Building a better bike. Before their obsession with manned flight, the Wright brothers were smitten with cycling. Orville and Wilbur owned Wright Cycle Exchange, a successful bike shop in Dayton, Ohio, where they sold, repaired, and even manufactured their own bikes. There, they honed their engineering and problem-solving skills, incorporating several cycling innovations before turning their eyes to the sky. Even then, a bicycle served as a test platform for refining the wing design that ultimately carried them aloft the morning of December 17th, 1903, on the sand dunes at Kitty Hawk. If you want to see that Wright Brothers National Memorial, it's in Kill Devil Hills, and they have a website, part of the federal government's website, NPS, which stands for National Park Service, .gov/WRBR. I guess that's Wilbur. And some photos here. The top one on the left is an old advertisement for the Wright Cycle Company. There is a bicycle with more spokes than we're accustomed to today. It's a ladies' bicycle because there's no bar across the top center of it. And it's in black and white on old paper that's faded over the years. It says, Envoy Specials, Ladies Fleet Wings, Wright Cycle Company, 23 West 2nd and 22 South Williams. And here's the back of two men. They have shop aprons on. One of them is wearing a jacket, you know, like a sport coat, and the other one has a vest on. So, of course, you had to dress up nicely in those days. And they're both working on bicycles or bicycle parts at tables on the wall. And then down on the lower left, there's a somewhat more modern bicycle, but not really so. And then a picture of the Wright Brothers Memorial at Kill Devil Hills, with one of the brothers lying flat on the plane, looking through bi-wings in front of him, and all sorts of metal struts and cables holding the wings together. Caption says, most people know about the Wright brothers' passion for flight, celebrated in the sculpture garden of the Wright Brothers National Memorial in Killdevil Hills. Few know that the pair supported their hobby by working in the bike shop that they opened in 1892 in Dayton, Ohio, selling bicycles that they built. Overleaf, here are three young ladies with big smiles on their little bicycles. One of them has grown up enough so that she doesn't need training wheels. The other two have training wheels, which are serving their purposes. Of course, they all have hats on, helmets on. The middle one has a helmet which has a picture of a bear's face on it. And what big smiles they have. Free riding. Once mastered, the trick of remaining upright on a bike stays with you forever. Training wheels are a common aid for helping young riders find their balance. And once they do, watch out! Bicycles open up a world of adventure, and possibly that seems infinite, even if it only means riding to the end of the block and back. Another caption beside the girls says, helmets? Check. Training wheels? Check. A sunny day in Sanford for them? Cousins Jackson 4, Keelan 3, and Kalani 5 to explore on their bikes? Check. How about sand cruising? Traditional bikes can sometimes get bogged down in the sand. Enter fat bikes with their beefy, oversized tires that enable them to tackle even the most unforgiving sand. But you don't necessarily need a specialized bike to get your beach biking fix. Fortunately, several North Carolina communities offer paved paths that hug the shore and are perfect for your classic 1950s-style beach cruiser. Notable possibilities include the 11-mile Emerald Path on Emerald Isle, the network of trails that make up the Island Greenway in Carolina Beach, and the many multi-use paths along the 108 miles of the Outer Banks. Here we have a family. Dad's in front on his really fat, tired bicycle, followed by, well, you know, the long hair these days doesn't necessarily mean a young lady, does it? So his one child, and then another child who's definitely a young lady, with a ponytail all braided down her back, and Mom is in the rear. She has another really fat, tired bicycle. The two children in the middle have fat tires, but not anywhere near as fat as Mom and Dad's. Bikes from Pleasure Island Rentals in Carolina Beach, including fat tire bikes ridden by Mom and Dad, allow the Kuchowski family, Matt, Easton, Sophia, and Leanne, to roll down the beach in style. They are on the sand, oh, I would say a dozen feet or more from the gently lapping surf. You can see a few waves rolling in out there, but it's not a particularly windy day. The water is blue-green, and the sky is pale blue, streaked very thinly with clouds. Race to the Top, an epic 102-mile ride to the summit of the highest peak east of the Mississippi River, the assault on Mount Mitchell, held annually in May, is a one-time bucket list kind of challenge for many people. For Richard White, who has ridden the event 31 times, it's more like a habit, one he'd like to break. I keep trying to give my bike away, but no one will take it, he says with a chuckle. Most riders agree that the Spartanburg, South Carolina, to Mount Mitchell ride is the toughest in the Southeast. It includes 10,000 feet of climbing, about half of it in the last 20 miles. And then there's the weather. Over the years, White's seen it all. Heat, cold, rain, sleet, and wind. Yet the 69-year-old cyclist soldiers on, much like the event itself, which has been run since 1975 by the Freewheelers of Spartanburg Cycling Club. The club offers excellent support, from well-stocked rest stops to a post-ride dinner to the traditional cup of tomato soup and a patch at the summit. The views along the route are spectacular, especially along the Blue Ridge Parkway. But none of that can compare to White's favorite part of the ride, getting done. If you want more information on that, you can visit theassaults.com. On the left-hand page, we see a beautiful picture of the parkway, two bicyclists riding along a flat section, and the photographer has stepped back up the hill a ways, and he's shooting the picture through a patch of beautiful rhododendrons with their pink flowers and bright green banana-shaped leaves. In the distance, we see first a guardrail on the other side of the two-lane roadway, and then we continue on down the hill with deciduous trees, and in the distance, a lot of low-lying hills. The early ones are green, the ones in the distance are purple, and they fade out in the mist. And there's a picture of the top. I believe this is the top of the mountain. Here on the right, let's see what the caption says. Hundreds of cyclists from around the world attempt to ride to the top of Mount Mitchell. Most spend the better part of the day climbing to the peak. But if you want to finish in the top 10, you'd better do it in under 6 hours. So at the peak, they've built a concrete ramp, and it goes up just a little bit further. I suspect they don't want you to bring your bicycles up there. And there are some benches spread around the edge and a little fence around the edge. It's just a rather small platform for you to stand on and enjoy your accomplishment. Rolling across the state, every year anywhere from 800 to 1,100 riders gather at a designated small town in the Blue Ridge Mountains before pointing their bikes eastward. For the next 7 days, the riders stay the course until they're savoring the salt air of the Atlantic. That, in a nutshell, is the Mountains to Coast Ride, organized by North Carolina Amateur Sports and supported by Visit NC. What better way to truly show off all the wonders of the state than at a pace that allows one to soak in every sight and scent and experience? Best of all, each year's route is different, with nightly stops in a series of small towns whose residents make riders feel as welcome as apple butter on a scratch biscuit. For more information, oh my goodness, it's a very long URL, but you can start out with ncsports.org, and I'm sure you'll find the event listed there. So here we have another two-lane stretch of road. No guardrails here because it's gently sloping down off to the right into a farm. There's a row of trees and bushes between the cyclists and the farm. It is the end of the hay season because we see the great big rolls of hay out in the field and some classic barns in the distance with their classic barn shape of four slopes to the roof and some low-lying hills. And my goodness, what a gorgeous Carolina blue sky. And now, riding for a cause. When Yvette Yarborough Trutman took up cycling, she looked around and wondered, are there other people who look like me who cycle? She found her answer in Black Girls Do Bike, an organization founded in 2013 in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Today, the organization has more than 100 chapters worldwide, including 8 in North Carolina. Yarborough Trutman resuscitated an inactive Raleigh BGDB chapter in 2017 and has turned it into a 600-rider-strong peloton of empowerment, specializing in group rides and good deeds. In 2022, they showed up en masse to a Bike MS event in New Bern and helped raise more than $32,000 to fight multiple sclerosis. For me, Yarborough Trotman says, it's been life-changing. There are actually 5 pictures here. Let me read the caption first. In their matching BGDB cycling jerseys, riders Lisa Britt, Dimitri Hare, Regina Brooks, Theani Carter, Janesha Hegahan, Sophia Clutch, Yash Bishop, Latonia Anthony, Simone Hamlet, Yvette Yarborough Trotman, Maya Lewis, and Latoyce Smith are hard to miss when they hit the Neuse River Greenway Trail in the photo that's shown here. So there they are, all lined up and standing behind their bicycles. Down below, close-up of 2 of them. One of them's wearing a T-shirt. Well, I suppose they all are wearing T-shirts, or most of them wearing T-shirts anyway, that says BGDB, Black Girls Do Bike. They have big smiles on their face. They're happy. And here's one who has a black T-shirt on. We see it. See her from behind, and the shirt says Black Girls Do Bike, and she has very, very colorful paisley-colored biking shorts on. Of course, everybody has a helmet. And here's another woman riding, and then an overhead view of the riders coming to a wooden bridge and crossing what's probably a damp area. Overleaf. The Pisgah Tavern, I see from the sign here, and some people sitting below at tables in this what looks to be almost like a log cabin, the way the wall boards curve out. It says a version of Pisgah Tavern has been a destination for cyclists for more than 80 years, since back when Fred Hunter, as shown here, owned the original. Today's incarnation is part tap house and park bike shop. We see the tap house part with the people outside enjoying their drinks, and then we have a close-up of a very busy bike shop. Beautiful table with all the tools all hung in a very organized fashion on the back wall, and a gentleman here working on a bike that's on a bike stand. If you've ever been to a bike shop, you know it's a metal, vertical metal stand, and it has some bars sticking out that the bicycle can be clamped onto. And he's working on something, on some part. I can't quite tell what it is. A pint and a pedal. It actually says a pedal and pint. Named for a famous Transylvania County roadhouse from the 1940s, the hub's reincarnation of the Pisgah Tavern isn't much different from its namesake, which welcomes cyclists and beer lovers alike. The hub maintains the traditional role of selling and fixing bikes, while the Pisgah Tavern serves as the unofficial watering hole for mountain bikers who just tackled the steep, rocky, single-track mountain trails in Pisgah National Forest and lived to tell the tale. It's fitting, too, that a shop dedicated to spinning wheels would also offer a rotating selection of beer taps and food trucks. It all adds up to a cyclist's version of Nirvana. Located at the entrance of Pisgah National Forest, the Hub and Pisgah Tavern represents the evolution of many North Carolina bike shops into vibrant community gathering spots. They're at Mama's Place in Pisgah Forest. The Hub Pisgah, that's PISGAH.com. The last photo is a black and white one, perhaps on the front of a postcard, I'm not sure, kind of looks like that, of a group of bicyclists, and I guess the owner of the shop's doing a little repair. The last bicycle is upside down on the ground. And then, in our very last double page spread, more than 19 miles of bike paths and greenways wind through Jacksonville, taking cyclists through parks, waterfronts, or rather waterfront land, and memorials. This is probably a family, group of three people, on bicycles coming toward us, dead center. They are on a wooden, what do you mean call it? I guess you'd call it a bridge of sorts. What it is, it's a wooden platform or a walkway, which they're using for bikes, going over a swampy area. We see the paved part coming up to it, and then all of these plants that look like they are growing out of a swamp on either side. In the background, we see some neatly manicured grounds and a pavilion of some kind. All of that up against a partly cloudy, beautiful North Carolina sky. We're going to close out today with some pictures from the front of the magazine under the heading Welcome Home. September, inspiration often strikes in the stillness of sunrise. Everything the light touches holds a promise of new adventure. The caption says, morning fog hovers over Lake Tillery as the sun illuminates the Uari Mountains in the distance, and Mount Morrow calls to explorers. This is a misty morning picture. The further away you get, it looks like some clouds have descended into the river, which goes and then turns to the left over there, and you can follow the string of clouds and know that you're following the path of the river. There are a few houses here with docks in the foreground, but there's still a lot of room for expansion there. It's not a heavily covered area. And we have a sunset picture of a lighthouse on the next page. Well, that's about all the time we have for today's episode of Our State Magazine. I hope you enjoyed it and that you'll be sure to listen next time. I'm Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine was underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving our community since 1974. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Our State Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Questions, comments, please call the studios, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.